From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Palestinians are observing Nakba, or catastrophe, when hundreds of thousands of Palestinians fled or were expelled from the newfound state of Israel in 1948. It followed Monday's clashes in which nearly 60 Palestinians were killed and hundreds wounded along the Israel-Gaza frontier as the U.S. officially opened its embassy in Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of Palestinian protesters streamed to the border with Israel, some using slingshots to hurl stones at Israeli troops, as well as firebombs. The troops responded with tear gas and, in some cases, live fire. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas denounced the violence as a massacre. He ordered the Palestinian flag lowered to half-mast, called for 3 days of mourning and a general strike. White House spokesman Raj Shah blamed Hamas for the violence.
The responsibility for these tragic deaths rests squarely with Hamas. Hamas is intentionally and cynically provoking this response. And as the Secretary of State said, Israel has the right to defend itself.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy was formally opened with a ceremony in Jerusalem Monday. Among those on hand, Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu.
What a glorious day. Remember this moment. This is history.
Palestinians view East Jerusalem as the future capital of a Palestinian state and denounce the move. Mr. Abbas referred to the embassy as an American settlement outpost. Libyan authorities have turned over to Egypt the bodies of 20 Coptic Christian workers beheaded by Islamic State on a beach near their one-time stronghold of Sirte in February of 2015. Egypt's Coptic Christian leader, Pope Tewodros II, was on hand to receive the remains. The bodies recovered last October after the IS-controlled area around Sirte had been captured. This is VOA News. With nearly all votes counted, it appears supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are big winners following Sunday's parliamentary election in Iraq. Iran-backed Shia militia chief Hadi al-Amiri's bloc came in second, followed by supporters of Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it was not a good outcome for either Iran or the U.S.
It wasn't a great day for Iran because they had two primary candidates, Maliki and, again, Hadi al-Amiri. Between them got roughly 69 votes. And the problem is it wasn't a great day for America because Abadi, who America was quietly supporting, came in third. And so there's no way that you can form a clear-cut pro-American coalition.
Jeffrey said a lot of coalition building will get underway, and it's possible Mr. Abadi may wind up the consensus prime minister. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo Monday sought cooperation with Germany, France, and Britain in phone conversations over the way forward now that the U.S. has withdrawn from the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement, a move they oppose. A State Department spokesperson said Pompeo underlined the U.S. and its allies share strong interests in preventing Tehran from developing a nuclear weapon and countering its destabilizing activities in the region. The parliament of the Spanish region Catalonia Monday voted in a new separatist leader, promising to continue to work toward independence from Spain. Quim Torra was narrowly approved by one vote, with four lawmakers abstaining.
El nostre president és Carles Puigdemont.
Torra said Carles Puigdemont, the former president who was in self-imposed exile in Germany and fighting extradition, is our president. He also pledged to remain faithful to the October 1st independence referendum, a move that prompted Madrid to impose direct rule. Sudan has named seven new ministers, part of a cabinet reshuffling that affect the oil portfolio and the foreign ministry. The country is grappling with an economic downturn and currency crisis even after winning sanctions relief from the U.S. last year, but the country remains on Washington's state sponsor of terrorism list. 48-year-old U.S. First Lady Melania Trump underwent a surgical procedure to treat a benign kidney condition Monday and will remain at the Walter Reed Military Hospital for the rest of the week. A spokesperson said the procedure was successful. There were no complications. President Trump took time out to visit his wife of 13 years later in the day. U.S. stocks managed modest gains in Monday trading, with the benchmark Dow Jones Index gaining nearly 70 points to 24,899. Investors appear buoyed by news President Trump is trying to ease trade tensions with China, seeking some sort of relief for sanctioned Chinese telecom giant ZTE Corporation. A top Chinese trade envoy is also in the U.S. trying to resolve a trade dispute over a trade imbalance between the two countries. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.